Would you please turn to Ruth chapter 2? In keeping with our theme for the year, perfecting God's love in our lives, we are looking at the book of Ruth in four parts, the love story. This is part 2, chapter 2 of Ruth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little book that you included in the Bible. Thank you for the people and their lives and their interaction that is recorded for us here. And we pray that as we look at this particular section of the book, you'll help us to see another dimension to love. I pray for your help. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you believe in coincidences? Are there things that happen just by chance? Or are events planned so that the outcomes are predetermined? Or could it be both? The Cambridge Dictionary defines coincidence as an occasion when two or more similar things happen at the same time, especially in a way that is unlikely and surprising. In this second part of our love story, we're introduced to a man named Boaz. He happens to be a close relative of Naomi's husband, Elimelech. Boaz owns fields outside of the town of Bethlehem where barley and wheat are grown. Now Ruth decides that she wants to help with expenses at home between her and Naomi, and so the thing that is available to her is to glean during barley and wheat harvest time. In the story before us in chapter 2, it's barley harvest time. Now, there were lots of fields owned by lots of different people growing both barley and wheat. What was the likelihood that Ruth, on her first day of gleaning, would choose a field owned by Boaz? Was it a coincidence? Ruth chapter 2 and verse 1, we are introduced to Boaz. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. To understand what happens next in our story, we have to be introduced to Boaz. He is of the family of Elimelech. Now, while he is not a brother of Elimelech, he is a close enough relative that there is the possibility he could preserve the inheritance for the family of Elimelech. Verse 2. Ruth decided to go to work and help Naomi survive. So it says, and Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And Naomi said unto her, go, my daughter. Now, gleaning in Israel was legal. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 22. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 22. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of the field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. Who's the stranger? Somebody from a foreign country, just like Ruth. I am the Lord. And then Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 19 says a similar thing, but includes a few other classifications of people. Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 19, where we have this. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. It was menial work, but it was probably all that was available to Ruth, both being a widow and a foreigner. Now, we will see in the chapter that it's the maidens hired by Boaz who are doing the cutting. And they will cut the stalks of the wheat until they have a substantial handful. They will then tie that, which makes a sheaf. They will lay that on the ground, and the young men will come along and pick up the sheaves and carry them away. That's the process. In that process, in the corners, you don't cut it so close so that some of the stalks remain standing. But as they would make a sheaf, tie the bundle, and lay it on the ground, it's very likely that a few grains of wheat would fall off the stalks, and the gleaners would come along and pick up these little grains. Verse 3, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap, isn't that an interesting word? Her hap was, what is that? It just happened. It was a coincidence, the scripture says. Now, I think it's just expressing that in a loose way. I think the clear indication is that this is not a coincidence at all. But for the sake of the narrative, it says, her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. She just accidentally, just by chance, happened upon a field that belonged to Boaz. Scripture says it was a coincidence that she went to work in a field belonging to Boaz. I found an interesting definition to the word coincidence, though, in the American Heritage Dictionary. Coincidence, according to American Heritage Dictionary, is a sequence of events that, although accidental, seem to have been planned and arranged. That's what it seems like here, doesn't it? When and where did you meet your spouse? I met my wife at Washington Bible College. I had been in college for 2 years before she came. I didn't start my college at Washington Bible College. I started at Tennessee Temple. I originally intended to go to Washington Bible College, thought it was God's will for me to do that, but I was influenced by a young pastor not to go there, but to go to Tennessee Temple. It was a hard lesson for me to learn, but I learned within a semester I was not in the right place. And I changed and went to Washington Bible College. I was there a year and a half until right after Labor Day on 1971. And 3 or 4 of us veteran students were staying out front where the new arrivals came to help the young ladies with their luggage. And that's the first time I saw Joyce Kilmer. I don't know that we spoke any words at that time, but that's how we met, at college. Now, was it coincidental? No, I don't think so. I believe that there is only one woman God ever intended me to marry, and it was her. And if I had stayed at Tennessee Temple, I wouldn't have met her. And he so arranged that I got in the right place at the right time. Is that what's happening for Ruth and Boaz? I believe so. Verse 4, Boaz comes to check out his field. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless thee." This was a typical greeting. In verse 5, then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" Now he sees Ruth, but he does not recognize her. We will find out that he's heard about Ruth, but he's never seen Ruth, so he doesn't recognize her. Boaz's servant then explains, verse 6. The servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." You see, she had asked permission to glean. She didn't just go start doing it. She asked permission. And she said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." Now, she's asking for a privileged position. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. We don't know that she was granted permission to do that, but she did ask for that. And that will become significant in a little bit. So verse 8, following a few verses here, Ruth and Boaz have a conversation. Boaz speaks first to Ruth. Verse 8, then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." Remember, the maidens are the ones who are doing the cutting of the stalk. Boaz does not want Ruth to wander off. He wants her to stay on his property only. And he grants some special privileges to her. Verse 9, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap and go after them. So don't stay in the corners. Don't follow far behind. You stay right close to the reapers. At the end of verse 9, he says, have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And so none of the young men who are in his employ may be attracted to her. That's not allowed, Boaz says. Boaz charged the young men that Ruth was off limits. And then he says, and when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Her thirst can be quenched at will without laboring for it. So Ruth says to Boaz, well, actually, the very first thing she does in verse 10 is she falls down on her face and bowed herself to the ground. Ruth is greatly humbled at being granted these special privileges, which shows godly character in her. She was not presumptuous or arrogant or proud or coarse or bold. Humility is a godly character. And when we begin to see the impact that faith has had upon Ruth, we see godly character begin to express itself. And there was another thing that endeared Ruth to Boaz. Verse 10 continues. She said, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? She doesn't understand at all the situation. Of course, at this point, Ruth has no idea who Boaz really is. She doesn't know that he's related to Elimelech and part of her extended adopted family. As far as she knows, he's just a random Israelite, and suddenly he's treating her like someone special, which in her mind is furthest from the truth because of her humility. Humility is a spiritually attractive quality. What typically attracts young men to young women? Men are typically very visually oriented when it comes to women. They like or don't like what they see. This girl is pretty. This girl is not pretty. This girl is pretty. This girl is not pretty. This girl is very pretty. They like what they see or they don't like what they see. But godly young men have another dimension to their insight. They have learned to like what they see in the character of a godly girl. A godly young woman who would not, say, win a beauty contest, suddenly becomes beautiful in the eyes of a beholding godly young man, because he sees the spiritual beauty of her heart. Young men, young women, desire a person for your future spouse to be someone who can see beyond your physical appearance and love you for what is in your heart. So Boaz speaks to Ruth in verse 11, and Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband." Again, Boaz had never met Ruth yet. He had heard about her, didn't recognize her on sight, but now that he knows this is who she is, he can connect all that he has heard about her to this person. He continues in verse 11, "And how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. You know what he's saying? I know all about the sacrifices you have made to be here. And sacrifice is a vital part of love, is it not? Isn't that what Christ did when he loved us, sacrificed himself for us? She left her father and her mother. She left her homeland and everything that was familiar to her. Here she is, come to a people which she knew not. She didn't know anybody. She knew Naomi, but other than that, when she comes to Israel with Naomi, she knows no one other than Naomi. Do you ever move to a new town and you don't know where anything is? You're not familiar with the streets, and you don't know anyone. You don't know your neighbors, you don't know. You have a new job, you're going to go to the job and you're going to meet those people for the very first time. You know absolutely nothing. Everything is kind of strange. She didn't know the customs of Israel where she is now. It was a cross-cultural shock to her. But she did it willingly, because she loved Naomi, and she was willing to make those sacrifices because of her love for Naomi and the love that she had gained for Naomi's God. And Boaz recognized this as part of her heart as well. Humility and sacrifice, two amazing godly character traits. So he says to her in verse 13, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel." Boaz bestows a spiritual blessing upon Ruth, the hope of tremendous blessing from God as her reward for what she has done, and notes her faith where it says at the end of verse 12, "Under whose wings thou art come to trust." He recognizes that the humility and sacrifice he sees in her life is because of genuine faith in God as her Savior. In verse 13, Ruth says, "Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids." After all the disappointments that Ruth has experienced, Boaz's treatment of her was greatly comforting. She hadn't expected it. It was a blessing. But she still did not consider herself worthy of it. She was still humble Ruth. "I'm not like one of your handmaids." Not like one of your hired servants. "I'm just a poor beggar woman gleaning in the field." But Boaz's friendly speech was a very positive thing in Ruth's life. And maybe for the first time in a while, Ruth was able to smile. You might be surprised how some friendly words can be very consoling to a stranger. Boaz says to Ruth in verse 14, "At mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. Went back to work, she did. So Boaz then gives some special instructions to the young man in verse 15. "When she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not." So the handmaids are going along, they're cutting the stalks close to the ground, tying them into bundles, which are sheaves, and laying the sheaves on the ground. And Ruth is allowed to get so close to the reapers that she can actually glean right at the sheaves. Not away from the sheaves where things have been dropped, where they're, you know, they're cutting, and then they bundle a sheaf. She doesn't have to stay along and pick up those little grains here and there. She can glean right among the sheaves. She had requested to do that back in verse 7. But one commentator suggested, and I thought that was interesting what he had to say about verse 15, that in verse 15 is different from verse 7 in this, that Boaz seems to, according to the tense of the Hebrew words there, that he was referring to specific sheaves. Those sheaves. The better sheaves. Which would have been more in the heart of the field, where the best grain would be gleaned. And that's where Ruth was allowed to glean. And then he says in verse 16, he goes even a step further, verse 16, "And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not." Now, remember, Boaz has already told Ruth to glean right behind the reapers. Now he is instructing the reapers to purposely drop some of the handfuls of purpose for her. The handfuls of purpose are the actual stalks of barley. So when they have a handful and are ready to tie it into the sheaf, maybe a few of the stalks drop out of their hand before they get it tied. Do you know it's a lot easier to pick up a stalk than it is a little teeny tiny grain? You know, mostly what they're gleaning is the little pieces of grain that fall off of the stalks. They're going along and they're picking up this grain and that grain. But they say, you know, don't be so careful to hang on to every stalk when you're tying the sheaves. Let some of the handful fall to the ground so she can just pick up the stalk. It's a lot easier. And on the stalk, how many grains are on a stalk as opposed to picking up one grain at a time off the ground? So in verse 17, it tells us that Ruth was able to glean in the field until even, and then she beat out that she had gleaned. You know, she's got a bunch of stalks now. She doesn't just have grain. She has a bunch of stalks, and so she has to beat the stalks to get the grain off. And it says that she had, and it was about an ephah of barley. An ephah was a bushel. So I wonder, you know, bushel. You know, that's not bad work for it. This is a bushel just of the grain, because she's beating it off of the stalks. In one day, she's able to gather a bushel. So I was curious about that, and I looked that up. A 60-pound bushel of grain, when converted to flour, produces about 300 cups of flour. About 3 cups of flour are required to produce a single 1.5-pound loaf of bread. Therefore, one bushel of flour produces about 100 loaves of bread. That's a lot of loaves of bread for one day's work. That doesn't sound like typical gleaning, does it? So she takes it home, verse 18. She took it up, went into the city that would be Bethlehem, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. Can you imagine what Naomi thought when she saw this great big bushel basket full of grain coming in the house? You got that in one day? And she gave some to Naomi and shared it. Then in verse 19, her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today?" I'd like to know where this field is. "And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is..." Is Naomi ready for this? Boaz. Can you see the lights going on in Naomi's head? Naomi recognized that this was not a normal day's gleaning. Someone had looked very kindly upon Ruth to allow her so much. And then Naomi hears it was Boaz, the near kinsman. And Ruth sees the hand of God in what just happened. Verse 20. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." You remember how in chapter 1, Naomi said, "I don't have any more sons to give you." And there was that law that allowed the brother to preserve the inheritance and all of that. Well, she doesn't have any more sons, but she does have a relative. And his name is Boaz. And he will do just fine. Ruth has some more good news. Verse 21, Ruth said, Ruth the Moabite said, "He said unto me, Also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And in verse 22, Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, and that they meet thee not in any other field. Verse 23, so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Humility and sacrifice were the qualities that Boaz saw in Ruth, two excellent godly qualities. Ruth and Naomi were beneficiaries of Boaz's generosity, or we might say kindness, which is also an excellent godly quality. Remember, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament was the gift of giving. Well, Boaz is certainly a giver, especially to Ruth and Naomi. But why did Boaz keep his distance through all of barley harvest and through all of wheat harvest when he obviously admired Ruth? From this we find that Boaz, just as Ruth was not presumptuous. He did not presume that Ruth would find him a suitable suitor. He was probably a little older than Ruth. And he did not presume that Ruth would return the same kind of admiration. But was it a mere accident or coincidence that they met? Coincidence happens in life. Sally goes to her friend Amanda, and she's going to visit her friend, and they go into the house, and Sally enters the living room of Amanda's house, and she gasps, "You chose the exact same wallpaper I did for my living room." We would say something like that's a coincidence. But in September of 1971, a girl named Joyce Kilmer arrived at Washington Bible College. And I don't believe that was a coincidence. I don't believe it was a coincidence that there was a famine at a particular time in Israel. I don't believe it was a coincidence that Elimelech took his family to Moab. I don't believe it's a coincidence that Ruth married one of Elimelech's sons. And I don't believe it's a coincidence that that son died. I don't believe it's a coincidence that Naomi's life and testimony had such an impact upon Ruth that Ruth trusted in Naomi's God. And I don't believe it was a coincidence that Ruth accompanied Naomi back to Israel. And I don't believe it was a coincidence that Ruth just happened to go to Boaz's field to glean on the first day. Speaking particularly to young people this day, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I submit to you that part of God's perfect will for your life is who you marry. Be patient. Don't be hasty in choosing a spouse. Be sure before you marry that this person is the one God meant for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your perfect will for each of our lives. There are things that you want for us. That's your will. You want things for us. And you wanted Ruth and Boaz to meet. You will want them eventually to marry. Thank you that finding that special person to love as a spouse is part of your perfect will for our lives. For some reason, Lord, you allow us to make choices. And it's possible for us to choose things that are not part of your will for our lives. But I pray for our young people that are among us this day, that they would have a desire in their heart to only want those things, including a spouse for life, that is part of your perfect will for them. And so grant to each of our young people and to any other person listening by way of videotape to be patient, to present themselves to you for your service, to not be conformed to this world, to have their minds transformed by your word so that they can prove in all aspects of their lives what is that good and acceptable and perfect will you have for them, and especially who they shall marry. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.